World stock markets stabilize overnight as investors take stock of what has been the biggest drop since February. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After the Dow fell nearly 1,400 points this week, 5.3%, the mood had spread to global stock markets. But Asia and Europe seem to have quieted down this morning, with the key stock index in London, the FTSE, up 0.6%. Hong Kong rose more than 2%. U.S. stock index futures, which sometimes reflect the mood at the start of formal trading later, are up 1% for the S&P future. For those invested or for those who work for companies with a stock that trades, riding through this kind of volatility can really take it out of you. Here's the take of a market pro. Barry Ritholtz is with Ritholtz Wealth Management in New York. Good morning.
My pleasure.
So as a matter of personal finance, what do you think? Should each of us do the math and see if and how much we actually lost this week? Would any good come of that?
No, it's kind of fascinating. You know, stocks are priced second by second. Your home price varies day to day, but you certainly don't track it the way you would track the stock market. Most people are far too concerned about what happens yesterday, and they're not concerned enough about what their portfolio is going to look like decades from now. It's an ongoing issue. It's part of the reason why we have such an underfunded retirement crisis.
Yeah, but you hear about these lightning-fast algorithms moving stocks around. You think you're missing out if you're not fussing with your own portfolio.
Even all the more reason. If it's you versus the machine and all these MIT PhDs in computer programming, what makes anybody think that they're going to log on from their phone or their little laptop and they'll be able to compete with those folks? Listen, I like football as much as the next person, but I don't want to get on the field with these giant guys who are bigger, stronger, faster than me. They're professionals. I stay out of their way. We should really approach high-frequency traders the same way.
But I've been out on the street here talking to people, and, you know, one metaphor I hear is that it's a little like an earthquake. The earth shakes a bit, and you wonder, though, is it a foreshock of the big one to come? You may be okay with what you lost this week, but maybe it's time to take some money off the table, is what some people have been suggesting.
Well, since the bear market ended in March 2009, we've seen 20 days where the S&P 500 was down 3%. And during every one of those days, it feels like this is it, this is the end. Have you taken money off the table on any of those prior events? You would have left a ton of upside there. And then you run into the real significant problem, which is once you sell, how do you get back in? People are very, very bad at objectively evaluating things like markets because it's red, it's emotional, it's exciting. All of your best instincts and all of your best thinking completely gets short-circuited by the emotions of losing money.
Veteran market watcher Barry Ritholtz is founder of Ritholtz Wealth Management. Barry, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Emotions and concerns about future interest rates are said to be a driver for the drops in share prices this week. But this morning, we're getting some real numbers to help guide share prices. The latest quarterly profit reports from big banks are coming in, starting with J.P. Morgan Chase, where profits today beat expectations.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
Washington Post columnist and ProPublica editor-at-large Alan Sloan checked the calculation that the stock market has lost $2.2 trillion in value since its high last month. And then to try to chill out, he took a brisk walk to get a nice coffee with cream, he tells me. As for President Trump's repeated criticism of America's central bank this week, the Federal Reserve, for hurting people by engineering higher interest rates, Sloan, for one, says he isn't buying it.
Well, isn't it amazing that when the market goes up, Trump says it's all because of him. When the market goes down, it's someone else's fault. It's the Fed's fault. And I think that's, frankly, nonsense.
Well, why? I mean, the logic of that view is that the Fed is trying to manage future inflation and growth by raising short-term interest rates, maybe tap on the brakes of the economy. President doesn't think it's time to tap the brakes.
Well, that's wonderful. But the fact is that what's sent the market swooning is long-term interest rates going up. The Fed does not control long-term interest rates. It controls certain short-term interest rates. And without giving a course in Economics 101, you can make a very good case that the Fed raising short-term interest rates has held long-term interest rates down below where they would otherwise be, and it's long-term interest rates that are the problem in the market, not short-term rates.
Why is it that you would think that raising short-term interest rates might have an inverse effect on the longer-term interest rates, the ones that might guide, for instance, if you're getting a mortgage?
That's because the people who put up money for the long term are very sensitive to what they think inflation will be. And if they think inflation will be higher, they want a higher interest rate. If they think inflation is under control, they want a lower interest rate than they would otherwise charge.
Thank you, sir. I think I'm getting this, accepting for now Alan Sloan's take. If Federal Reserve policymakers get it right messing with short-term rates, pulling off their goal of keeping inflation down, then the economy grows more productively and therefore prices stay under control, then the longer-term rates, 2, 5, 10, or 30-year interest rates that we tend to pay when we borrow, could stay lower than they would be, benefiting borrowers and consumers. But to quote President Trump as part of his criticism of the Fed this week, "I think I know it better than they do," unquote. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Redmond Carolipio. Our engineer is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.